In the previous verse, David just talked about the nature of the Lord, which was sudasattva or visudasattva. That means his situation is not contaminated by anything in the material world, but he appears in the material world and he has a form. So that form and his qualities and his activities that he displays when he appears in the material world are also not material. They are also spiritual. So in other words, the Supreme Lord is non-material, but that does not mean he has no form and no qualities. He has form and qualities, but they're not material. Yeah? The other conception is, yes, the Lord is spiritual, but he has no form and qualities. Yeah? So how does one prove that the Lord can be spiritual and have form and qualities? The Lord manifests himself in the world, and then people see him with form and qualities, which are transcendental, they're not material. So in other words, the David is saying, when you manifest yourself as avatar, this is proof that Bhagavan exists with form, qualities, activities. Not that he is some Brahman or he doesn't exist at all. He actually is spiritual at the same time. He has activities and form and qualities. So in other words, by manifesting yourself in this world, you prove that Bhagavan is the spiritual entity, not the impersonal feature. So in this way, they show that actually they reject the impersonal feature and prefer the personal feature of the Lord. So people like the Mayavadis, followers of Shankaracharya, they will say that we accept the Lord with his form and qualities, but those are actually just manifestations of sattva guna. So the actual Supreme Lord has no gunas, no form, no qualities, etc. It's impersonal completely. But a manifestation of that Brahman is a reflection of that Brahman in the spiritual world and sattva guna. So that's the closest we can come in the material world to something spiritual. So therefore, the form of Vishnu or Krishna is sattva guna. It's not actually spiritual, but it is the best part of material nature. That's all. So ultimately, the real spiritual thing is no form, no qualities, Brahman. That's all. And so this is one idea that has been presented as a philosophy, and the devatas are rejecting that theory here. So, of course, there are many, not only Shankaracharya, there are many philosophies that will accept a supreme entity, but they prefer the impersonal to the personal. So, in the Sadarshanas, of course, we have completely atheistic ones like Kapila, who doesn't accept any form of God or any Brahman even. This Jiva and Prakriti exist. That's it. But the Nyayakas, they will accept, yes, there's a supreme entity, but then they won't give him any form or qualities. So even before Shankaracharya, there was this idea of the impersonal Brahman type of thing, existing as a supreme entity, separate or distinct from the Jiva, who they also accepted as a category of existence. Of course, the difference there is that they were not Maya bodies. They did not say that the Jiva or matter were Maya. They're real, according to them. Jiva is real, Prakriti is real, and Brahman is real. Whereas Shankaracharya will say, Brahman is real, matters and Jiva are Maya, illusory. So that's the difference. So they both accept impersonal, but the Nyayakas or logicians will accept that at least the material world is not an illusion, and the Jiva is not an illusion. They're actually real entities. So, there's some difference in their impersonalism. So we should not think that all Mayavadis are all impersonalists or Mayavadis. Those who are in the modern material world, the prevalent ones, are Mayavadis. We have very few other, Nyayakas or whatever left in the material world. So most of the impersonalists in India are followers of Shankar, so they're Mayavadis. But actually there are many other types of impersonalists as well, who do not necessarily say the world is Maya. So, Therefore, the philosophy of impersonalism here in general is defeated by saying the Lord manifests his wonderful form, qualities, activities in the material world. They're not material. And everyone can see him. So, this, in other words, we can accept what is said in Scripture or confirm what is said in Scripture when the Lord manifests himself in the material world. However, when the Lord manifests himself in the material world, the devotees can see him and appreciate his transcendental nature. Those who are materialists or those who are demons, they will not appreciate that spiritual feature of the Lord. They will think he's material. Huh? So this sort of statement that when you approve, you appear in the material world, you prove your existence, will be true for the devotees of the Lord and people who accept Scripture. It will not be true for the others. When the Krishna comes, the demons do not say, well, this is proof that you exist, this supreme entity, Bhagavan. No, they won't accept that. So, the proof that the Lord is Bhagavan and he has transcendental form and qualities and activities, that is for the devotees. They will understand. Huh? So, nevertheless, when the Lord appears in the material world, even those who are not devotees get some benefit from the Supreme Lord's presence. So as Prabhupada says here, those that see the Lord, they get benefit and they get liberation for the material world or whatever, even if they can't appreciate a spiritual form or whatever. And we see that some demons, of course, actually go to the spiritual world as well. Even when they're demons, they're not just materialists, but they actually hate the Lord or try to kill the Lord. They may get liberation, or they may go to the spiritual world and have spiritual bodies even, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So, the Lord, when he manifests himself in the material world, confirms for the devotee his wonderful presence, his existence, which is according to Scripture. So that is one type of mercy. He encourages the development of the devotion of the devotee by manifesting himself so they can serve him directly. And the other is he gets mercy even to the people who are not qualified for bhakti or anything. And they get some sort of advancement. So therefore the manifestation of the Lord in the material world is auspicious for everyone. And in no way it has any fault attached to it. So, in this particular circumstance, Krishna is going to manifest himself in the material world, and he's now in the womb of Devaki. So he will appear to take birth. But, as these statements say, he's actually not born. He's not a material entity that is born with a material body by karma. The form that we see, it may look like a material form, but it is not. It is visuddha sattva, completely different from that material form. And if it looks like he is taking birth like a normal child in the womb, no, that also is not true. Because whatever is suddha sattva must be eternal. It cannot have a beginning and an end. Having a beginning and an end, a birth and a death, that is an attribute of a material body. And it is a tribute of matter. The Lord is beyond the gunas. His form is beyond the gunas. Therefore, it cannot be temporary. It has to be eternal, with no birth and death, etc. Completely independent of matter, karma, etc. So, though the Lord makes an appearance in the material world and it looks like he is taking birth like a normal child or whatever, no, he's completely different. So that is confirmed here by the devatas when they're praying here. The Lord is eternal and completely beyond the material world. So he may manifest himself, but that is his choice. It is not that he comes because of karma pushing him into a material body. He comes by his own choice only. So, when the Lord appears, here it describes him as vijnana and ajnana biddha apamarjanam. The it has two aspects, his appearance. One is vijnana, or realization, or knowledge. The devotees can recognize him and confirm what is said in scripture and develop their relationship with the Lord. And consequently, they get bliss. And at the same time, it can remove all ignorance. That means all misconceptions. What are the misconceptions? People have contrary ideas, opinions, philosophies about who is the Lord. As I said, the Mayavadis have one theory, other impersonalists will have another theory, materialists will have another speculation, atheists, etc., have another idea that God doesn't exist at all. So all of these are types of ajnana. So all of these things are complete, all these different philosophies are completely negated for the devotee when the Lord makes his appearance in the material world. So all the counter philosophies are completely destroyed, and the correct presentation of the form of Bhagavan in the scripture is confirmed by his manifestation in the material world. That is also shown by an analogy. I think it is the analogy of the sun. When the sun rises in the morning, the lotuses bloom, and the owls hide in their their little holes in the tree. So that comparison is given of the lotuses are the devotees. So when the Lord makes his appearance, like the sun rises, then the devotees become joyful. They get knowledge. And the owls disappear. That is the miscreants, the demons, and the long philosophers. They all defeated, and they can't say anything anymore, and they're hiding in their holes or whatever like that. Or another example is given of the thieves. When the sun rises, the thieves disappear. So in that sense, all of the non-devotees, they are defeated by the... their philosophies are defeated by the presence of the Supreme Lord. And so simultaneously, two things are accomplished. The joy of the devotees and the defeat of all the other philosophies, etc. So by one act, the Lord accomplishes two things. As we see, the Lord protects the devotee and destroys the demon when he comes in the material world. So, therefore, the manifestation of the Lord in the material world is beneficial. It has all wonderful qualities attached to it. And we can ask why the Lord must appear in the material world, because the material world is matter, is dark, is ignorance, is contaminated. So by coming in the material world, it is not good. The Lord shouldn't do that. And if he's a pure person, why would he go into such an impure place? Stay in the spiritual world. That's where the Lord belongs. No. When the Lord comes in the material world, then all good, auspicious effects take place, as we see here. The devotees become joyful, all the false philosophies are destroyed. The devotees are protected, the demons are annihilated. So his appearance in the material world is beneficial in all ways. It is no fault in his appearing in the material world at all. Simultaneously, when he comes in, he is not affected by anything in the material world. He's completely pure. So therefore, there's no fault attached to the Lord's appearance in the material world. He does not change his transcendental nature.
See, God is spiritual, completely transcendental, we can say. But can you say him that like he is material also, like he is a personal, he is impersonal also? Can you say it like this?
Well, that's a Chintabeda Ved. He is Brahman, he is Bhagavan, he is matter, he is the material cause, Upadan, and he is the material Nimitta, the indirect cause as well. At the same time, he is not matter at all. So he's everything. He is the universe and he's not the universe simultaneously. But this is because of his Shakti.
We take him as a material, you're saying that Achintya Vedanta, then it becomes again temporary. If you take it as a material, it becomes again temporary.
Matter itself is eternal, of course. Prakriti is eternal. The manifestations are temporary. So then we can say, well, if the Lord is matter and matter changes, that means the Lord changes. But we can say that about the transcendental world also. The Lord is there and he performs activities. Activity means change. He's not just stuck like this. He's doing an action. The action means change. His form changed from this to this by doing an action. Therefore, it's not that we say that the Lord completely has no change at all. Well, maybe no change, even if the jiva, no change in the jiva, doesn't mean he's just completely static. Because obviously, even the jiva is a knower. If he doesn't know anything, then he's like matter itself. So knowledge itself means some change. At one moment we're aware of Krishna, at one moment we're aware of Rama. So it means change, consciousness changes. So, not changing is a relative term in one sense. So what does not change is the, we could say the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the existence of the Lord, his sarup does not change. But there is some sort of what we call change taking place in terms of action and whatever, pastimes, etc. of the Lord as well. So now the change in the material world, of course, is a little different. Because objects appear and objects disappear, etc., or so-called disappear. But the property itself is eternal. How does this accommodate within the Lord? Because Shakti of the Lord, Bahiranga Shakti, acts differently, that's all. And it is Achit aspect of the Lord. So the Lord is matter in one sense because it's his Shakti. He's not the matter, he's not the same as matter because he is different. He is Chit. Matter is Achit, changing in its various manifestations, etc.
We have to go to Brahman. We have to worship the Lord. But Mayavadis, they don't worship. So the Mayavadis are a different category. They come under the Jnani group.
They are Jnanis also because they believe in the process of Jnana. But because they say everything is material, including the form and qualities of the Lord, they become aparadis. Therefore, they can't get liberation.
They can't go to Brahman then, Mayavadis.
Technically, we will say no.
Maybe the destination.
Because their very philosophy commits aparad against the Lord. Whereas other impersonalists may not say that. They mean impersonalists like the Nyayakas, the logicians. They don't say that the Lord's form is Maya, etc. Or Sukadeva was impersonal. He didn't say the Lord is Maya because he accepted the Lord and he talked to him also when he was in the womb. So they don't reject the form of the Lord. That's, transcendental.
Do these four types exist in the higher planetary system, Mayavadis and Brahmavadis, Jnanis? In the higher planetary system, they have these transcendental four types of...
Well, what happened to the different sages? They have different philosophies also. Like Dattatreya preaches this, and we have the Kumaras who are Jnanis, like this. So, yeah, it's around the universe, supposedly. Yeah, they have different sages, rishis, etc., empowered by the Supreme Lord, and some of them teach, more jnana than bhakti also. Some teach karma, even.
All this virtue has been made by the Lord only for the different souls to attain at least some level of realization. Then why should we discriminate and behave somebody else?
Well, yes, even the impersonalists in one form are one step towards the Lord, but the problem in Kali Yuga is that people come attached to these all different philosophies, they don't progress beyond that. So therefore the Bhagavan says, just present Krishna as the object of worship, everyone worship Krishna, finished. Don't consider anything else in Kali Yuga. Other ages, yes, they could do gradual process of upliftment, but it's slow. In Kali Yuga, everybody is short-lived and unintelligent and they get confused very easily. So just make everything very, very simple and put the final conclusion to them only. That's all.
Since all this process is available, people will take up some of the process which they like.
They may, but it's also very difficult to do anything, to do karma yoga perfectly, to do sacrifices perfectly. Very difficult in Kali Yuga. You cannot do those sacrifices. You require the, you know, qualified Brahmins to chant the mantras perfectly, etc. You need the proper purity and stuff like that. Nobody can do it. So even karma yoga, much less jnana, people cannot do perfectly in Kali Yuga. And not many people are interested anyway in doing that. No, apparently it's only in Varsha we get the yugas affecting everybody. What? No. They got what do you call Boma Svarga. The subterranean Svarga, Vila Svarga. It's like Svarga Loka down there also. They're continually enjoying in darkness. No, it's the earth. That's why it's considered fortunate. We get yuga dharma.
What is that one dharma? Like, if you want something,
huh?
Worship the Lord.
Yeah, they worship the Lord because the sattva, they realize the Lord.
எல்லாத்துலயும் அழகலாம்
இல்லைங்களா?